So we continue our series, Taste and See. Hopefully you got to use your senses this morning and smell the lavender, the sign of and scent of femininity. Hopefully you've taken note of the rendering of Mary that one of our artists, Megan Wieand, drew for us. A little later, you're going to taste something that's going to be a reminder to you, and you're going to see some things as the gathering goes on, so that we want you throughout this series to keep using your whole being to kind of take in these stories that the storytellers have been taking in for weeks now. The time that we prepare for Christ's coming again, coming in new ways into our life, the church has called Advent. And it has a lot of images that we hear throughout Advent for this very thing, light shining in the deep darkness. We learn when John comes that there will be a voice crying in the wilderness. We hear that there will be a branch that sprouts from the stump of Jesse. We hear that there will be a rose blooming in the desert. But this morning, we add to the faithful, expectant waiting of Elizabeth the annunciation of Gabriel to Mary that she too will give birth to a son. But her son shall reign over a kingdom which shall have no end, we are told. God is at work. And as they say in that routine crowd, here's your sign. God is at work. The unexpected and untimely pregnancies of Elizabeth and Mary are what give us a sign. They cause us to take pause, to recognize that something strange is happening. And so these women are not supposed to be having babies. Sarah is of the age where babies are no longer expected. Mary is engaged but does not share Joseph's bed. But now we discover we're in God's time, where what one thinks is past or future becomes present. God is about to act and to break in through two unlikely women who will soon bear exceptional children. Today's text is a wonderful reminder, as Dave told us the text, that God declares, and this is important for all of us to hear, we are never too old or too young for God to use us. That things are never hopeless as long as God is dwelling in us. Our lives are not limited by our mistakes or our challenges. It is not limited by our past nor our future. God can use us where we are. When people get older and they say, I'm useless, tell them the story of Elizabeth and Zachariah. We are never useless to God. When we've made mistakes and think we can't be redeemed from those mistakes, tell them the story of a God of salvation. God works in unexpected and unbelievable ways, regardless of everything we're reading all around us: terror, hunger, poverty, unequal distribution, global warming, name it. Mary and Elizabeth are reminders to us, are signs that with God nothing is impossible. No place is off limits for God to show up, and no person is without hope in God's grace. So today we're going to focus in our lens on Mary. Similar to the announcement we heard last week by Gabriel to Elizabeth, Mary's child, like John, will also be great, but Jesus will reign in a different way. Jesus will reign as the Son of the Most High God, while John would just prepare the people for Jesus to come. While John will be filled with the Holy Spirit, we learned last week, before he is even born, Jesus, we learn, will be conceived by the very power of the Holy Spirit and will be wholly the Son of God. Elizabeth's pregnancy will serve as a sign that Gabriel's announcement now to Mary is trustworthy. Right? The angel says she's going to conceive, and lo and behold, we're 6 months later, and what's happened to Elizabeth? She has conceived. This will now be a sign that Gabriel's words are true, and Mary can trust them. Gabriel invites Mary to faithfully believe and send God's word to her, and Mary does not disappoint. Mary's service to God is not a role she chose, but it is a role that she accepts. She takes on the role of God's servant. Mary agrees as a servant of the Lord. This is how she responds. Let it be unto me according to your word. Now, I'd like to just think about that for a second. In essence, what Mary is saying is, this is not what was in my plan, but thy will be done. I wonder how many of you, when you get unexpected, unanticipated news, or you find out you're going to do something that you weren't planning on, or you didn't even think you wanted to do, I just wonder how many of you pray, thy will be done, versus what I often pray, thy will be changed. Mary is perhaps the first of the new family of disciples that Jesus is going to call unto himself, because Jesus says that his disciples will be known because they will hear the word of God and do it. Mary seems to be the first one. She hears the word of God through the angel Gabriel, and she does it. She takes on the role of servant. Have you ever wondered what would happen if Mary said, sorry, not me, get yourself somebody else? It was a choice. She surrenders to God's desire. Now, for me, I find it fascinating that the first thing Mary does isn't run to Joseph and tell him. No. What's the first thing Mary does? She goes to Elizabeth. I'd do the same thing. Why do you think she went to Elizabeth? If you were Mary, why would you go to Elizabeth? For safety? You trust Elizabeth? Why would you go to Elizabeth?
Understand.
She's unexpectedly pregnant too, right? She's a kindred spirit here. She's also, in her family, had an encounter from Gabriel. It was her husband that had it. Why would you go to Elizabeth? Why wouldn't you stay in your village? Elizabeth would understand. Elizabeth is older and wiser, so she can be like a sage to Mary. She can be a mentor to Mary. What else? Oh, yeah, it was against the rules. She could be stoned. She could be stoned to death, the law says in Deuteronomy, for such an act. Why else would she go to Elizabeth? Why leave where she is? She finds out she's going to be pregnant. She already knows, because the angels told her, that her cousin Elizabeth is pregnant. Why go to Elizabeth? Why would you go to Elizabeth? Who in the world is going to share your joy at this point? Elizabeth. Who's going to believe what happened to you? If there's anybody in the world that's going to believe it, who is going to believe it? Elizabeth. She might understand. She might believe. She might even welcome Mary. She would most likely, in her own town, be shunned, be the talk of the village, be snickered at in Nazareth, an insignificant town in Galilee. She would have been that woman who got pregnant but isn't yet married, which was pretty scandalous in those days, against the law, against the covenant, and worth stoning. The two women are most likely transformed in the presence of one another, because the Holy Spirit, we've been made clear, is present in both of their lives. They stay together, it says, for 3 months. Now, that's also fascinating, because the first 3 months, for those of you who have been pregnant, the body goes through a lot of changes. And those first 3 months that she's together, can you imagine anybody even believing her that she is pregnant? But when she comes back, what will have changed? She'll look pregnant. They undertake a Elizabeth and Mary, this pilgrimage of great faith together. They see it in one another. They confirm it in each other. What do you think? Imagine being with them for this length of time. What do you think they learned together? Do you think it solidified what had happened? What do you think happened? Go into your imagination. Unexpected pregnancy of old lady. Unexpected pregnancy of young lady. Relatives find each other, tell each other what happened. What do you think's going to happen between the two of them in that time? They're going to become very close. I think that's true. What else do you think is going to happen? They're going to gain strength to face the future because they both realize now together that they are a part of God's acting in history. And recognize the people have been praying for God to act in history in this way for over 400 years. They have been praying, and God has promised a Messiah. God has promised he will act. He will send someone to save his people. They have been praying and praying and praying for this, and now the time is upon them. I think to face that alone is a pretty scary thing. I think to face that in community. Ask yourself, when you get terrible, horrible, ugly news. Now, if you're an introvert, you may need to process it for a while by yourself. But eventually, what has to happen to that? You got to share it with somebody, right? You need kind of a partner in all of this. You need community. And in this case, something miraculous is happening to both of these women. So they have this shared recognition. They have some mutual awe and delight in what is happening. The other one kind of gets it because they're going through it too. God with us, right? God, that's what the name means, becomes God between us in an interesting kind of way. I think they probably were God with skin on to each other. They believed each other. They didn't have to explain themselves to each other because these women both experienced the Holy Spirit at work. There's an interesting story told of a group of children who were putting on the play of Elizabeth and Mary. They were telling the whole Christmas story. And when the child that was playing Mary arrived at the home of Elizabeth, she knocked on the door, and Elizabeth said to her, "Come on in, Mary, we're making baby clothes." There was a group of women that were making baby clothes for John's arrival. Now, while Mary might have been shunned in her own village, these women had already been made aware, right? And might have believed, and maybe Mary would have been welcomed among them, and they could have made baby clothes for her baby, too. It's kind of fun to imagine, isn't it? Maybe there were those who didn't judge these two women, but just loved them. They didn't shun them, but they celebrated them. Maybe there's this sign to us of what we should be doing in Advent, rehearsing God's announcements through Gabriel, God's sentinel, remembering God's covenant, his promise to his people, and God's faithfulness always. Do you think they might have shared some of their joys and fears? Do you think they might have talked about what do you think is next? There are a host of miracles in this story. A host of miracles in this story. I thought about, what do we talk about in this story? It's a story that everybody knows. This is a story with a host of miracles. And I think we live in a time and place where we don't trust the miraculous. I'd like us to talk about the miracles in this story. Tell me one of the miracles in this story. Just name one. There's like 20. Name one.
An angelic encounter.
New life. Miraculous new life.
An angelic encounter.
An angelic encounter. Come on, there's a whole lot. Like, go back to your days of childhood when miracles didn't surprise you and where miracles were accepted and received and were challenged. They were just... you were open, and you were like, wow, isn't that cool? Can you go back with me for a moment? What are the miracles in this story? have this kinship together. So they have a partner to share this with. What else is a miracle in this story?
A virgin gets pregnant.
A virgin gets pregnant. It's another miracle. She doesn't get stoned. Could have been all done right there. But that isn't what happens. What else? An old lady and an old man past the years of childbearing bear a child. Joseph accepts her. That is a miracle, because at the time, that's not what he would have done. He would have publicly shamed her. And instead, he quietly seeks to court her. That's our story next week, so I don't want to get ahead of us. But that's right, Joseph accepts this. What is another miracle in this story? Go deeper. They both embrace it. How many of you tonight, if you're lying in your bed, okay, and an angel of the Lord appears to you, and women, no matter who you are in this room, tells you you are about to become pregnant, or men appears to you and tells you that you are about to be a father, and you're not married, or you are married, but you haven't had sex with your wife for a long time. How many of you are going to believe it? Both of these women believe it. And both of them respond with great joy. In maybe not such joyous circumstances. I'm not sure if I'm 65 and I found out I was pregnant, I would be really thrilled. And I know if I found out at age 12 or 13 that I was pregnant and unmarried, I would not be real thrilled, especially in that culture. What other miracles are in this story? What about the insignificance of who was selected? Doesn't go to the royal court and pick one of the princesses. It goes to the very lowest of the low and makes a point of it because tells us the tribes and stuff that they came from. These are insignificant people that live in insignificant places that come from insignificant tribes. God does mighty things through insignificant people. And part of the reason for the telling of that is because you and I need to realize that we're in this story. When you say God could never use me, you remember that God used a 12-year-old, very innocent woman. God used a very old woman. God uses anybody who is willing to be nothing will be impossible for God. That's what the angel says to Mary. Nothing will be impossible for God. Does anybody remember where we've heard that before? That was said to somebody else a long, long time ago in biblical history. Abram and Sarah, when they were told to have a child, they were going to have a great nation that would number the pieces of sand on the ocean. And there they are, this old couple, and they haven't had a kid yet. And he says, don't worry, nothing will be impossible for God. Even though they only have one child, Isaac, how many does Isaac have? A slew, right? 12 sons and then daughters on top of that. God's intention for the salvation of humankind, the whole world, begins in the womb of a powerless, not probably even yet teenaged woman. Do you believe in miracles? Just take a moment and look at these next few slides. They'll each be put up for some time so you can just think about it. This is meant to be a time of wait and see, taste and see, look and see, reflect and see how God might be at work in you. So take a moment and ask yourself, do you believe prepared